My name is Charles Biblazer, managing editor of The Media Line, and today my guest is Vladimir Van Wilgenberg, a researcher who spent time in Syria and the author of an upcoming book on the Syrian Kurds. Thank you very much for taking the time for being with me from Iraq.
Thank you.
And the topic we'll be discussing today is the fate of the Islamic State after the destruction of its so-called caliphate and declarations of victory by both the United States and the Syrian Democratic Forces in Syria. Vladimir, let's start on the micro level. What is the current state of ISIS in Iraq and Syria?
Basically, ISIS doesn't control large areas anymore. They only have like a very small pockets in the desert in Syria and the Deir province. So they're basically reduced to an underground network. But until now, they're still able to carry out sleeper cell attacks and they're still active on the ground. But they don't have any more like a caliphate, which they used to control. But it doesn't mean that they're completely defeated.
In a previous U.S. report, defense officials estimated that there are still about 20 to 30,000 ISIS fighters scattered throughout the Middle East. If so, do you think that there is the potential for the group to reemerge as a potent force?
We don't know exactly how many people they still have, but it's clear they still do have thousands of supporters, so there's always still a risk. And ISIS is also trying to prepare for the next phase. So that's why U.S. officials have said that one of the reasons why ISIS was allowing civilians to leave Bahus and their men and women was because they were preparing for the next phase.
And what do you think this next phase will entail? Like a reversion towards more traditional insurgency tactics?
Well, I think they're just going to go back to the original phase, like before they created the caliphate. So, I mean, in Iraq itself, there were always jihadist groups doing insurgent attacks, killing, assassinating tribal leaders, trying to get money from people, basically to extortion. So yeah, they will go back to that phase, but it doesn't mean yet that also that there's still always the possibility that ISIS could still carry out attacks in the West. But large territory, they don't control it anymore, so they now lack those financial resources they have. Like they cannot anymore promote themselves like a state and that they can call on foreigners to immigrate to the state. I talked also with Daesh women, ISIS women in camps, and they were saying that one of the reasons they came because they have this territory, but now that's not anymore the case. So it will be more difficult for Daesh to recruit people or forces abroad.
And Daesh, obviously being the Arabic acronym for the Islamic State. I'm speaking with Vladimir Van Wilgenberg, a researcher who spent time in Syria. I want to get back to the issue of the threat to Europe in particular. One of the hot topics now is what to do with approximately 1,000 ISIS fighters that are being held in Syria. What do you think is going to happen with these people? And if they do return home, is this a significant threat?
Well, it's difficult to say what's going to happen. Like, until now, most European countries, they don't want those women, children, and fighters back. So they prefer local prosecution. But the dilemma is that the Syrian Kurds said they were not willing to put those people on a trial. So now, instead, they're suggesting, for instance, that the international community helps with establishing an international court system. But definitely, there's a part of them that still believes very strongly in ISIS ideology. So it's possible that them and their children, they could be a threat. But you also have others that they're not so happy anymore what happened, and they're sort of, they see now a different face of ISIS, and I don't think that they will be a threat. But it depends on the personal case. And also it's a difficult situation for the Syrian Kurds because they don't have the resources to deal with so many of these foreign fighters and their families.
And final question for you, Vladimir. ISIS has made inroads in other areas in the Middle East and North Africa, such as Libya, the Sinai Peninsula, increasingly in Afghanistan. Do you see the prospect of them regaining territory and perhaps recreating their so-called caliphate in another capacity?
I think it's very difficult for them to really regain such a large area because until now the U.S.-led coalition is still intact, still active. So in this case, if ISIS would control territory, it would be much easier for those countries to respond to it quickly, unlike in 2014 and before 2014. But it's still possible that they will try to do such things because in Afghanistan and other countries they're still active. And also, of course, in Syria and Iraq, they're also still active. So we have to see, but I think it's very difficult. That's also what Syrian Kurds say. It's difficult to defeat an ideology. You can defeat it militarily, but it's also a process of defeating an ideology, which is very difficult.
Vladimir Van Wilgenberg, I very much appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
I'm Charles Biblezer, reporting for the Media Line.